Hi, everyone. We just wanted to take a moment in reflection of Art Blog co-founder Roberta Fallon. Roberta and Libby co-founded Art Blog when the city needed additional information as well as stories and community around the art world. The arts community is indebted to Roberta. Our thoughts and prayers are with her family and friends.
Bonjour.
Hey.
Before we get to what we did last weekend, can I send a few shout outs?
Sure.
Congratulations to Nick Patterson, who debuted as the Cavalier opposite Lucia Erickson in her second year in the Sugar Plum Fairy role in the Philadelphia Ballet's production of The Nutcracker. This is quite remarkable as he is in recovery from stage 4 cancer.
Correct. The Inquirer had a beautiful article as well as, I want to say, 6ABC did a story on it as well. And so it was beautiful to be able to see his debut Friday night.
Also, congratulations to Lainey Jackson and Itzkan Barbosa, whose work debuted at the Ballet X Holiday Program at Bryn Mawr. Robert, do you want to speak to that?
It was absolutely amazing. It was an incredible show through and through. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful space in like an old church that was turned into a theater. And our boy Eli, killed it. Killed it. So good. And the beautiful final piece by Christian Denise, who is their choreographic
fellow. I got to preview that a few weeks ago.
Oh, so great. It was so great.
How many programs were there?
There were 4.
Wow, so you got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and I want to say 3 of the 4 were world premieres.
Did you get into anything else? Did you crack some nuts?
I'm nutcracking Friday night. I got suckered in. You know, guys, I said at the beginning I wasn't going to go this year. I was not going to go.
Too many kids?
You know what? There weren't that many kids Friday night. It was fine. It was fine. Okay. We did well. I thought it was only the Philadelphia Boys Choir that sang in the second half. We had the Girls Choir Friday night. Did you?
Yeah. Do you want to know something? Petit Garçon is going through this phase where he gives everybody the thumbs up. So
fun.
I mean, throughout the night, he was giving the orchestra the thumbs up.
Nice.
He was giving the Girls Choir a thumbs up. Like, who is this politician? Loved it, though. My grad school BFF, her daughter, my older son, the Petit Garçon, and I were out and about on Saturday, and we stopped off at CB2 in Center City, which is auctioning off a piece from friend of the pod, Natalie Hope McDonald, in benefit of Philabundance. And I have to tell you, I approached it from the back of the store, and as soon as I saw it, I didn't have to see the sign. It was unmistakably NHM.
Love that.
I believe the starting bid is, it's either $400 or $600 with the opportunity to purchase outright for $1,200.
Wow.
A beautiful vase. After that, we went to several Old City galleries. We went to Pye Gallery and saw Patricia Moss Vreeland's The Stillness Between Us. We went to Penti Menti and saw Flow States by Lauren Mabry and Chimera by Sarah Patter. We went to Muse Gallery and saw Colors of the Season, which is the Muse Gallery annual member show.
Yep.
And then we popped into Larry Becker Contemporary to say hello to Larry and Heidi, who will be joining us in conversation later in this episode. That night, while you were at Ballet X, we were front row at the Nutcracker, followed by Leo, which is the new restaurant in the old Volvere spot at Kimmel Center. It's relatively new.
Yeah.
While the menu is not really kid-friendly, the kids did get a tour of the kitchen, albeit from the dining room.
Nice.
The lead, maitre d', took them around the kitchen because you could see through.
Yep.
And it was a nice few moments of peace and quiet for us to enjoy our cocktails. Sidebar, I will never not buy front row tickets at the ballet again.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, how did you get access to those front row tickets?
So glad you asked. The Philadelphia Ballet Young Friends Program. $35 a ticket.
It was absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. You know where those were retailing?
How much?
$187.
Times five. I don't need to do the math for you.
Yeah.
You have calculators on your phone. Watching the orchestra brought another dimension to the ballet, and there was a lot of leg room for this lady. I am very tall. And did you know, there is no wine, snacks, consumables, etc. allowed in the front two rows during the ballet?
What?
During the ballet when it starts?
Yeah.
We were told we had to finish our wine. Which is fine, but you just know that there is a reason that this rule exists, and perhaps somebody's tuba was flooded with a Cabernet. Who knows?
Potentially.
But they came up to us and they're like, you're going to have to finish those. I was like, in 5 minutes? Challenge accepted.
Perfect.
The next morning, our third annual Degelin family brunch. I wouldn't say that the snow stopped us, but it stopped some of our guests from getting to Queen Village, which is perfectly fine. Biederman's was still open, yeah. And we got our really fancy fishy brunch tray, 10 out of 10 recommend. Not spawn, could be spawn, ball is in your court, Biederman's. Finally, Robert.
Yes.
Are we going to talk about the Picasso raffle and how many tickets you purchased?
Oh, 100%. I am so excited. The Picasso is on auction in France by a foundation that will sell up to 120,000 raffle tickets. Mm. The raffle ticket price is 100 euros. Or
is there a limit on how many you can buy?
Potentially. There's a limit on how many you can buy. And please do read the fine print because they're covering a lot, but maybe not everything. So they'll even...
Oh my God, could you imagine the tariffs on that?
Exactly. Depending on where you are, they'll pay up to a certain price for the tax as well as tariff for the piece. And I want to say for the U.S., it's around 75,000 is the cap. And mm-hmm. You have to go to France, which they will pay up to $1,500 for your transportation, to then be able to pick up the piece in person.
I'm not saying that you should not claim it at customs, but I am saying that it is 15.3 inches by 10 inches.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the piece is Tête de Femme.
Yes.
It was painted in 1941. It's gouache on paper.
Yeah. Maybe this is a great question for our art consultant that we had on.
Mm-hmm.
What are the different ways that I can get that here and then minimize my tax?
You know who else might have feedback on that is Margaret and Alexa from Pie Gallery, as they tend to work with international artists.
Yeah. And what do I get if I loan it to the PMA for a year to mm-hmm. then hold it first?
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Very exciting, though. I really love the idea of art pieces like this being able to further a cause. So this actually benefits an Alzheimer's Foundation in France. And...
It's Foundation Recherche Alzheimer.
Yes. And so I really love the idea of being able to further nonprofits through the sale of art.
And at the same time, it makes it accessible to someone who would probably never have that opportunity because the people that are out there buying Picassos are not going to be interested in this.
Yeah. I mean, they'll raise $12 million from this piece if they sell every one of those raffle tickets.
Mm-hmm.
The piece is estimated about 1 to 1.2 million.
The drawing is on April 14th, 2026.
Mm, right before tax day.
Robert, shall we get to the conversation now?
On to the conversation. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart Podcast.
In this podcast, we sit down with the artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Deggerland.
Hello, hello.
And today we have Larry and Heidi of Larry Becker Contemporary Art. How are you today?
We're great.
Fine. We're excellent. So happy to be here.
Good to have you as well. So as we start with everyone else, we'd love to hear about your journey that brought you to where you are today.
We're looking at each other. Who's going to start? Okay, let me start. It all started in 1969, shortly after the moon landing.
Oh, love it. Started with a bang.
Yeah. We met at Tyler School of Art. I was a beginning graduate student, and he was going into his senior year, I think. And then we were just all about art, and then here we are still.
What got you to your gallery?
The gallery came about because of the space that ended up being ours in Old City. And we ended up there because I had a framing business and we were up near Tyler and I only had a small space.
Yeah.
And I was working at the Philadelphia Museum of Art, and Ann Darnicourt, who was curator, director, asked me if I would frame a Mark Rothko painting. And when that question came up to me, I said, Ann, Mark Rothko didn't want his paintings in frames. And Ann said, are you trying to talk yourself out of a job? And I said, no, I'm just on the side of the artist. And then Ann explained that the frame was needed to keep it protected, and it didn't belong, the painting did not belong to the museum. It was on loan. It's a very valuable painting. So I was convinced into making a kind of a floater travel frame that I needed a space bigger than what I had. So I went looking for a space in Old City because I was advised an artist friend of ours had a space and she was moving up to New York. I went to look at the space she had and it was not good enough for me. And the gentleman who was renting it to her said, well, I know another space right around the corner on 2nd Street. If you meet me there, I'll buy that building and you can rent it from me. I showed up, whatever it was, a Thursday morning, and Mr. Ehrlich, who was supposed to meet me there to buy the building, didn't show up. So the owners, Moishe and Yosef, they knew the story that I was looking for the space, and they said, well, why don't you buy the building? And I said, I'm an artist. I do framing. I work at the museum. I can't really do that. And they said, well, if you could scrape together a nice deposit, we'll give you a handshake, and you just pay us once a month, and the building is yours.
Wow.
So that's how the gallery started.
Oh, my gosh. Adventures in real estate.
Yes. Adventures in don't skip a meeting.
The economy had just tanked. Oh. And these men were both, I think, 80 at least, and they really wanted to retire.
They had a big fabric remnant business. So they sold me the building as is with all their fabric remnants.
Lots of cloth. Cutting tables.
Oh, yes.
Big scissors, cutting tables, all the stuff was there. We ended up having the building as the back end we lived in, and I did framing, and it was not an off-the-street business. And we ended up starting out with the front window was the gallery, and then we measured back 40 feet, and Heidi and our friend Dick Caswell built the wall, and we lived and worked behind that, and I started doing the framing upstairs. It's a four-story warehouse.
Wow.
So we ended up having a gallery that just
eventually took over. Passive gallerists.
Yes.
And then I had a situation of two businesses that had deadlines. Mm-hmm. A framing business where I was doing a lot of museum work, work for Marion Goodman in New York. Her artists had a lot of exhibitions in Germany. I was shipping out of our gallery space, and I said, this is too much for me to handle, to do pressure like this, to have exhibitions that I had to get shipped out and do exhibitions in our own space.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I decided I'm not a great businessman, so I'll give up one of those. So I gave up the framing.
Mm-hmm. Being artists ourselves, and then Larry's framing business gave him contact with a lot of major collectors.
Yeah.
And also other artists that wanted to, you know, have their work framed and have conservation advice and so forth. We just started working in this raw space.
Yeah.
Our fellow artists, mm-hmm. some of them had pretty strong careers already, and some of them were younger artists. We don't really use the expression emerging artists, but that's, mm-hmm. we don't really have another word for meaning. It doesn't have anything to do with your age.
Right.
Sort of young in terms of exposure, maybe.
Yeah.
Or ongoing exposure. Well, we got started in 84 in this raw space. And we did a lot of work on it ourselves. And then our friend Ira Yupin, who's also an artist who knows how to renovate buildings, helped us to understand what we have to do and when we have to do it and what comes first. And he was great, so he became our contractor. Anyway, in 1988, we started having sort of ad hoc exhibitions, and most of them just in the front room at first. We were actually living in the back, so we were really like hippies that were really starting to age until we finally, by the time we got an apartment other than that building, we were really aging hippies.
Well, when we got there, it was more of an artist neighborhood.
Right.
I mean, the lofts were filled with artists.
A lot of artists were living the same way we were living.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Only a few had sort of short-term galleries.
I mean, Dick Caswell, who helped work with you building the first wall.
He taught me how to build a wall. And
he just lived around the corner.
Wow.
So we had a lot of artist friends. And
it was a great neighborhood. It still is. But it's just constantly, like any neighborhood.
It's changed.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
But we love the neighborhood.
What was going on in the upper floors?
It was
For a while, we let some artists have it.
Yeah, we let some artists work, and it kind of made a light bulb go off in our head that we should finish renovating the gallery space and begin to have announced exhibitions and a real plan and a program and start representing artists. So our first full one-person exhibition in October 1988, and we were still painting the walls at 5 o'clock in the morning. was Bill, and it was fantastic.
We got a wonderful review on my birthday from Ed Szyzanski. I mean, Ed gave more than a review. He mentioned how we had renovated and did this beautiful gallery space, a nice explanation of Bill's work about the different materials that he uses, and I was happy to have that on my birthday.
Great gift.
Also, Heidi, we had other exhibitions
before we opened full time. Was it five
Dutch
artists from the Netherlands?
Oh, wow.
They all came over, shipped bronze sculptures.
Not on our dime.
They're well
funded. Right.
We want to do this, but if you want to do it, because they could get a lot of grants and a lot of support.
Government money.
Oh, that's amazing. So, and did these relationships continue from the framing business? And
The Dutch guys were because we went to graduate school. We didn't mention this after Tyler. We went to get our MFAs at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, which was great. We met a Dutch artist named Jacques Marx, who still lives in Philadelphia. He went back to the Netherlands, then he came back to Philadelphia, and we worked with him quite a bit in the beginning. He had artist colleagues that he knew, and we got to know their work. So what were we doing showing these artists from overseas when we didn't even really have the means to do it? But they did it because they wanted to do it.
That's incredible.
It was wonderful. So that was a good start. But that was before we opened full-time and
that was before 88. That was between 84 and 88. We had some good exhibitions, and the Dutch guys is one of them. And we had other solo and group exhibitions between 84 and 88, and then the program started, our regular exhibition program started in 88 with Bill Wall.
And what do you look for in artists?
that you represent.
Looking for commitment. We're looking.
That's the exact word I was going to say.
That's great.
Commitment.
Yeah.
But all in all forms, commitment to their work, being able to commit to a different relationship, because it's like a marriage when you have mm-hmm. a gallery mm-hmm. and you're an artist. You're coming into a relationship yeah. that you may never have had before. You're answering for a lot of things that you didn't have to answer for when you were on your own.
Yeah.
So it's a commitment and dedication to the work.
We represent each other.
Yeah.
We represent the artist, but they also represent us. And people are so great. Things have happened over the decades in which many artists have done exhibitions or worked in galleries, and they know what kind of work goes into it, so they appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we really cooperating together. The equation is completed by the audience, those people that are interested, and people like you that are promoting the work, and of course the clients. We're not a nonprofit, so the clients right. who buy the work, everybody contributes to keeping the world going around.
Yes.
And if you wanted to describe the artists that we work with, they're all very, very committed and always growing and changing and
yeah.
working really, really hard. Really, it's our family. We forgot to have children. We
had a whole bunch of artists, though.
No disrespect to people that have children, and we admire them, and we love our friends' kids and in general. But
the artists and
they became our
the
family.
Clients yes. are family. The clients are families. I mean, we have clients who actually, after the many years, say, "Oh, we don't collect art. We collect artists." They actually right. like having the artist come to their house to have dinner, to be part of their life. They yeah. like more than just the art. They like sharing their life with the artist. And in terms of business, we had this gallery since 84. This is not our first conversation about what we do.
Yeah.
But so, every time you do have a conversation or somebody asks you a question, it makes you think about what you're doing or what you've been doing. And,
right.
and, you know, it sort of jogs your memory about things that you have to keep learning. I want to tell this story about a wonderful project that was done, and I don't remember exactly what year it was, but it was called Citywide, and it was several exhibitions in different kinds of galleries, nonprofits and for-profits, that were Philadelphia-based and everybody doing something different. And we were included. And at the end, they did some panel discussions, and we were part of one of those. And they did some interviews, informal interviews, in which they came to the gallery. And they were going to do a publication at the end of it, so they have a book. And these casually finishing up interviews had something to do with that. And so Jacques Lou was one of the people that was there that day asking us questions, and there was another person with him. And I'm sorry, I don't remember that person's name, but Larry and I were standing there, and they asked Larry, but they really may not have realized it, but they meant both of us, because we both run the gallery equally. Mm-hmm. No. They said, so after all these questions about running the gallery, he said, so, do you still do your own work? And Larry said, you're standing in it. And it's still true.
Wow.
Because that has become
yes.
our work for a lot of years.
Can you tell us a little bit about what is currently in the gallery?
Well, that's We'd what we would love to get you to see how interested you are and get other people interested to hurry on down, because the exhibition of Steve Rydell's new and recent work is currently up. It will be up till the 31st of December, but there's a special event that Heidi's planning for us on the 20th,
well, let's
Saturday,
just put it
this
which
way. Is this yes. Saturday.
It's listed to be up through Saturday, December 20th, but we are not going to jump and take it down the next day. We're going to leave it up that holiday week when people are either involved in the holidays
yes.
or they have free time and they yeah. want to come to the gallery. We just ask that during that week or 10 days between the 20th and the 31st that you call for an appointment, because we are preparing to do the next exhibition. And So we have work to do, but we also need a little mental break too.
Yes.
So we live so close by, we can get there fast, but we prefer a call to our gallery number, which is, shall I say it?
Yes, you
215-925-5389. You have to tolerate my telling you the schedule and what to do. So please leave your phone number and we'll call you back. It'll be from my cell phone, so you won't recognize the number, but I'll leave a message. And then we'll just arrange a time for you to come over. And we're there almost all the time anyway, especially this guy.
I'm there every day.
And we love what we do, so we're there almost all the time.
Seven days a week.
I like our apartment, so I like to enjoy our apartment sometimes.
I like the gallery. I'm there. Enjoying the gallery every day.
So it's easy to make an appointment. I don't think we're going to be necessarily having appointments on New Year's Day. Well, no mommers allowed.
but what about Steve right now?
Wonderful to have more chances to see Steve's work. He's somebody that we've worked with since we met him in the early 90s, and he comes originally from California and has lived in Cincinnati, Ohio, and in New York City and other places, and did some really good studies in California and good graduate schools, and has also done some teaching, but he doesn't teach now. He's always working on his work. And his partner, Mike Wilson, has a business called Mode Modern, which is fantastic, mid-century modern furniture and things. And they help each other with each other's work.
Wow.
And that is based in Philadelphia. And they live in Philadelphia. And Steve has a studio outside of Philadelphia as well that they built. So we started working with him in group exhibitions in the early 90s.
Oh, wow.
And then solo exhibition, it took a while because since we're so small, usually our exhibitions are much longer than what used to be the norm, used to be a month. Or in New York for a long time, a lot of the exhibitions were only 3 weeks long and everything was pre-sold, or it seemed to be anyway. But we need longer and give more people more opportunity to come and see and then come back again and write about it or consider work or gather, meet the artist and so forth. So we continued on with Steve since then. And the previous one-person exhibition a couple of years ago, we went back to work that was made before we ever met Steve, that we saw when we first went to the studio. And we've always wanted to show some of these older pieces. We just love, love, love them. But he's always working so hard. And there's always new work, great new work, where he's really pushing himself and investigating. And we would show extremely committed. And so we usually show something from the new work or a group of recent years. But a couple of years ago, we went back and did sort of a survey kind of exhibition, going back to piece, I think the earliest piece was 1986 or 7.
Fabulous exhibition.
And we did find homes for some of those favorite early pieces that we had never had the opportunity to actually show before. So now this work is from the last couple of years, as you say, new and recent work.
Yes.
And the title is I Want the West. And we said, Steve, that's a very interesting title. What on earth are you talking about with that title? You come from California. Do you want to go back? And he said, no, it's not about that. The West to him symbolizes, in a way, the challenge of always confronting the unknown and taking risks and always driving himself. And he said, in a way, it comes from a conversation I had with Bill Walton, who did an amazing exhibition with us called West of Roulette. And within that was contained another beautiful series called Sweet Lou and Marie, named after this obscure diner up in the woods where he and his friends used to go fishing. So he had a conversation with Bill, and we had a similar conversation with Bill. There was a piece that had sort of what looked like a map in it. And Bill said, we were driving in this timberland. The trees were so tall and so dark that it was like night, even in the middle of the day. And there were no names of the roads. There were just numbers. He and a couple of friends would go fishing up there, you know, once a year or so. But he said you could easily get lost. And there was no food or anything around. You had to know where you could find that, and then you would know where you were. So they would find this restaurant called Sweet Lou and Marie's, and they'd know where they were.
Right.
It was like a magnetic field that they could
bring them all together.
Go from there. And so he said, but one time we got seriously lost. And it was really frightening. And he said, to lose your bearings like that, because you have taken the risk of going into this unknown territory mm-hmm. that you love, he said, it really shook my foundations. Yeah. You know, it happens to everybody. And Steve said, the conversation was good, though, because that's what you have to do in your work. And Steve is definitely doing that. And that's why the title wow. is I Want the West.
Is there a specific medium that you find tough to represent?
I would say, although we have exhibited some work that was media-based or, you know, using a television screen mm-hmm. or a lot of sort of active installation kinds of things, we don't do a whole lot of computer-based mm-hmm. stuff. A lot of people use the computer process or the digitization as part of sketching out work. Mm-hmm. Not that they make something on the computer and then paint it. Not at all. Just the ability to sort of granularize a photograph or something like that. Right. But we don't show a whole lot of digital-based, see, I don't even know how to describe
it. Right,
the
right.
Digital-based yeah. visuals, yeah. for the most part. We're, yeah. We are very interested in the old idea, of the old ever-living idea of taking materials, base materials, like ground-up dirt, mm-hmm. and turn it into light, the old alchemy thing.
Yeah.
It, we're not only working with that kind of stuff, but paint and material can be transformed and transform us. It's yeah. it's very full of energy. And like Steve's work, each object is its own mysterious object, and it's full of a presence. It's like almost like a being.
Yeah.
And it gets made and unmade. The process, the way he makes them, is so complex. And
most of the work that we do exhibit, you have to be in the presence of. It's not a digital mm-hmm. or a shared thing by seeing it on a screen.
Yeah.
Most of it is having a sense of the hand, the surface, how light reflects or absorbs, the texture. So it's about looking and seeing something that's real in front of you, not another generation. So all of our exhibitions, I think, have always needed to be having the audience present. You have to be mm-hmm. there with the art. It's not about another media level to have experience it. You need to experience the real thing to get a sense of energy, to get something yeah. out of it. Energy made visible.
That was one exhibition that we did back in 1992. We invited, I think it was 5 or 7 artists whom we had never shown before. Those people's work is work that you have to be physically with.
Yeah.
Some of it is very difficult to photograph with any kind of indication of the object and the light that's happening in it. So, yeah, you got to be there. So that's why we try to be there when people want us to be there.
Yes.
So they want to come.
Where can the audience find you in real life and online?
Real life, they can find us in Old City at 43 North 2nd Street.
Which is right across the street from the Arden Theater. Yeah, Instagram is great. It's L as in Larry, B as in Becker, C as in contemporary, A as in art, and then Phila, like short for Philadelphia, PA. So LBCEA, Phila, PA.
Excellent.
And I'll link it in the show notes.
On to rapid fire questions. Philly art scene in one word.
Fantastic and very supportive.
Cheesesteaks with Wiz or without?
No cheesesteaks.
No cheesesteaks.
Never had a cheesesteak.
Favorite art museum outside of Philadelphia and New York?
Carnegie.
Phillips Collection in Washington, D.C.
Oh, I'd say that too.
Yes,
yeah, I'd say the Phillips too. I take that back.
Like it.
Well, I like them both.
I like the Carnegie too.
But the Carnegie is
fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Favorite Philadelphia neighborhood?
Old City
/ Society Hill.
Nice.
/ Northern Liberties. It's, to me, it's all what? Part of the same cloth.
Northern
but
Liberties.
Especially Old City.
If you could have any artist in history produce a portrait of you, who would it be?
Andy Warhol.
I'll go with that. That's lovely. When we go to heaven, though. He's you still didn't working want Rembrandt? Up there.
Yes, exactly.
Rembrandt wouldn't have us.
Thank you so much for your conversation today. And everybody check out Larry Becker Contemporary Art.
Conversation. I really need to get to their gallery before that exhibition closes. For this weekend,
the Philadelphia Chamber Music Society presents Mark Steinberg on violin and Jonathan Biss on piano tomorrow, December 18th, at the Kimmel Center.
The Glorious Sound of Christmas by the Philadelphia Orchestra from December 18th to the 20th, also at the Kimmel Center.
Also at the Kimmel Center, Upper Philadelphia presents The Seasons from December 19th to the 21st. Heads up, there are a few tickets still available on the Friday and the Sunday.
Wow.
Saturday, sold out.
This is your last moment to check out Steve Rydell's I Want the West at Larry Becker Contemporary Art.
David Dempwolf, Ghost Signals 1 through 4 at Practice Gallery at 11th and Callow Hill is ongoing throughout the year.
Also in Callow Hill, Thomas Pantone, Moving Towards the Sun at 5U Space.
Colors of the Season, the Muse Gallery annual member show, specifically the artist reception, is this Saturday, 12:20 at 2 p.m.
Pi Gallery's Patricia Moss Veerland's The Stillness Between Us, specifically the artist reception this Saturday, 12:20 at 2 p.m.
A Sophie's Choice. Third Street Gallery's Under $500 show, an annual member show, is ongoing throughout the rest of the year. And finally,
Philadelphia Ballet's The Nutcracker is ongoing through the end of the year at the Academy of Music.
Crack those nuts. Before signing off, Robert, do you have any plans for the weekend?
I do. I have a Christmas party with my high school friends, and I think I want to go see The Seasons, so.
And with that, Philly has heart.
And art.
Heart, your weekly cultural update. Subscribe and join us next time as we keep amplifying the artists shaping Philadelphia culture.